What up, what up, what up? Hey, everybody, hope you're doing well. Hey, I just want to let you know, I know everybody can't always support and donate to the podcast, but hey, if you can do a one-time donation, I put up a Buy Me a Coffee link in this description of the podcast. So if you go to the description of the podcast, it'll be at the bottom, and you can just go to that link, and you can buy me a cup of coffee, or two if you want. And that would just help support the show, and I can wake up a little bit more and bring you more info. So thanks for listening to the podcast. If you can donate, that would be much appreciated. And let's get on to the show. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO legend and paranormal lore. Welcome back, welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing excellent and taking care of yourself. So today, we're going to talk to you a little bit about an amazing story that I came across on Gaia, where they discussed Emery Smith's engagement with his explorations into the portal system, and by using these portals. Now, what's really amazing is that he talks about the fact that they needed to use dogs in these excursions. And you would say, well, why would you bring dogs on these excursions? It doesn't make any sense. Well, if you think about it, we use dogs here to predict individuals who have medical conditions, individuals who have falling conditions, heart attack conditions, diabetic conditions. And not only are they for detecting medical conditions, but dogs can also be trained here to predict weather conditions, earthquake anomalies, individuals who have cancer issues. So it's not just health-related issues, it's prediction. It's their ability to use a different sense within their body that we haven't developed fully enough. So they have this amazing capability to utilize that, and they train these dogs to go on these missions for these very specific missions. So Emery talks about his entire team being trained for 2 to 3 months, and then they'll go on one mission a month, or they used to go on one mission a month. He doesn't do it anymore. But I kind of went back into the archive a little bit. This is early on when Emery was on Gaia, and he's talking about his early engagements, and then later on talks about more scientific endeavors. But I got kind of bored. I wanted to go back in time a little bit. So I found one where he's getting interviewed by George Norrie. I kind of skipped over it because George was kind of cutting him off a lot early on in the early interviews. Later on, he let Emery speak. But I want to tell you, hey, there's my dog too. Come here, bud. So as we're talking about dogs, I'm talking to my own dog, trying to get him to not bark with me out in the old lab. So while we engage in this podcast, you might hear my dog barking a little bit. So I want to tell you some specific quotes from Emery and what he said in these interviews, because it is fascinating. They actually developed a lot of things for these dogs. So what Emery states is, dogs can hear frequencies that we can't hear, and they brought them along on these space expeditions because... So what's interesting is that since they have these innate sixth senses, or maybe altered senses, they can help with what Emery calls one of the most scariest things that they encounter on these alien planets, which is the geological changes that happen. Now, since animals can predict these things, they're a humongous asset, if not the most important asset on these missions. And they actually saved a few guys from getting killed that he talks about. So he states there was an incident where they were walking. So what they do is they go through these portals, they investigate these planets wherever they end up, and they see if there's minerals, plants, or anything that they can detect that they can use that would be beneficial back home. So Emery is the scientific leader on these missions. And the dog really is their sensor. And they also bring along a robot that he also talks about that can sense issues within the individual suits. So these guys wear, obviously, these high-tech suits so they don't die on these planets, but also to keep their heart rate low, to administer medications, things like that. But if somebody were to fall over or is in the position of falling, the suits help as well as the dogs can help. But in regards to these geological changes, they may have soft land that they might be about to walk on. What's soft land? It's like quicksand. You get into quicksand, you're screwed, right? You get into an area that might have noxious gas in it, which he talks about. You're screwed, right? So these dogs are able to help maintain a level of safety. So he states that on one mission, they were walking along kind of like a mossy planet. They weren't predicting that they might have to walk across this area, but they did. And the dog was able to predict and bark and tell them not to go in this area, because what they later found out was when they did a scan of this area was that, guess what? If they would have walked onto it, they would have fallen through and there was noxious, deadly gas underneath. It was kind of like, we actually have these areas on Earth where it almost looks like the Earth is breathing. They're generally mossy areas in forests, not typically in North America. They're usually in Asia. But when you walk across these mossy living areas, it's the ground underneath them is very much liquidy or gassy. And in that case, you could potentially fall through if you had enough pressure. Some humans, some people are brave enough to go into these areas and they kind of do these like acrobatics as the earth is breathing this mossy land up. But in this case, as Emery was traveling to other earths, this land is not safe. So the dogs help them with that. Now, what they found later is that, you know, of course, these dogs are going to need a protective measure. They're going to need suits. So George asked them about these suits. So what's really cool is, like, they actually have a picture on Gaia, and they have this dog suit, and it's like, it looks like it's like a huge metal vest with kind of like a soft acrylic wrapping around their legs so they have flexibility, but that the chest and back are all covered in this like metal, and they have like these like ridges at the top, almost like a stegosaurus has those like bony plates, or had those bony plates, and then has like a huge collar handle as well on the top towards the back of the neck, and then they have a glass polymer helmet, or maybe a plastic polymer helmet. I'm not a scientist, but it's a translucent, so they can see through protective helmet that they can see through. So it's really, really fascinating. But obviously their entire body has to be covered, because when they get back, they have to be safe. So even their tail is covered, everything is covered, so they don't have any negative ions, negative biological entities following with them back home. So he states they have special iridium goggles that they look through. So they have these really giant goggles that they wear, and the iridium apparently allows them to see a little bit better. They also have astronaut helmets on. All of them are waterproof, which is great, especially for the humans and for the dogs, which is great. They have the special designed suits, and he states that the dogs may have their own differently made suits for different types of missions, whether they're going to a deserty area where they might need a lighter suit for heat absorption, or if they need a thicker suit for if they're going to a wintry or a colder environment. He states it just depends on where they go. Now, what specific breed, might you ask, they would use? You'd think a German Shepherd, because that's typically the military dog that is used by police in the military. Easily trained, definitely loyal, and you're not going to typically get injured by it. What's fascinating is they use Mastiffs, which are the biggest dogs on the planet, basically. You know, definitely the heftiest, because it can carry its a significant amount of weight. They're big and burly. And he states that, you know, when you have to go to these other planets and put a dog in a suit, the suit weighs a lot as well. So you need a strong animal that can take that weight with them, plus their sense of smell is one of the highest in the dog family. And as well, you know, if they combat any threats, you know, on the planet, like an earthquake or, you know, any other type of environmental issue, they can at least, you know, have enough muscle to get up and over certain hurdles. So they're long enough that can get up and over certain hurdles. They can get out of areas, whereas a smaller dog might not be able to get out of. Now you might say, well, I know a small dog that can jump. Sure, they can. But the bigger, burlier dogs are going to be able to maneuver out of things. They have more strength. Plus, if they need to carry something or carry a person or help carry a person, you know, they have the strength and mobility to do that. So they're very mission oriented. They're trained for years, and they're specially trained, right? I mean, even the military trains their dogs very specially, right? So if you look at what does a military dog need to be trained in, they take these dogs through years of training, and when they're decommissioned from the military, then sometimes local police forces will adopt them and use them for their own training and for their own protection in the canine units. So how would you even go about training these dogs? Well, you know, first of all, you got to train them from a puppy. You got to engage with them and build a rapport early on. You have to groom them so that you know exactly, you know, what kind of entities are on them. For example, today I had my dogs out playing. Brought them in. A lot of people, they'll just bring their dogs in and not even, you know, kind of examine them. What I do is, you know, especially in the in our backyard, it can get kind of dirty. I usually wash their paws off every time I let them go out, and they come back in. Maybe they go out for a little while and come back in. I wash their paws. I found a you know, something that shouldn't have been in her paw. It was like stuck to mud, right? Like a big clump of mud, and then like a little piece of plastic in there. Now, that might not seem like a big deal, but over time, that could have hurt her over time, right? So I cleaned that thing out. I cleaned all the mud out, all the dirt, and then took out this piece of plastic that was in the mud, not stuck to her paw or anything, just in the mud. So you have to be aware of your own animal. So that's the importance of taking care of an animal and building a rapport, grooming them, and knowing what their body is like and what they're capable of and what their bodily needs are as well. It's super important. You got to build that relationship. So these dog trainers have to build that training. So they do lots of training. The US, one of their local training areas is in Germany. Obviously, it's not in the United States, but a U.S. Soldier is seen here in this article doing training at the Bolingen local training area in Germany. And so they even talk about it, right? Something as small as like a tick could be an issue, even in space, right? So you got to know the dog's suit. You got to know everything about that suit, right? If some sort of foreign-born alien object gets into their suit, even though they can detect it when they get back home, you want to know about it while you're on the planet. So while you're on the planet, you want to be constantly, you know, keeping vision over your dog. Some things can be a serious problem, you know, and if your dog's acting strange, has a strange behavior, you want to take care of it. So these space dogs, yes, they are specially trained. There's another obedience obstacle course that's in Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. Some of the airmen there train some of their military working dogs. One that's here in this article is a German Shepherd. And so getting out there and really playing with the dog takes time. Training takes time. You got to get out and play. Dogs are going to have bad days too. So what happens if, you know, your dog has a bad day out on the battlefield, right? Like these portal fields, if you will, right? You know, it's a portal excursion is going to be more of an exploratory excursion, most likely not going to have battles, right? But Randy Kramer, who is in the Special Space Force program, you know, what if they use dogs in those programs as well? Well, guess what, right? those dogs are going to need to be trained as well, and they might have a bad day. So you need to know your dog. You need to know if they're capable of handling the situation. A lot of times, these missions are going to occur in different altitudes, and different altitudes can result in different bodily effects, even if you do have oxygen, right? Typically, it's just the oxygen that's a problem, but guess what? If you have to hike up some hills, if you have to start really, really exerting yourself, you need to know how much your dog can handle, how much your own body can handle, how much endurance will this dog have. Of course, they do training, but once you get out there in the real world, it's like training for an Olympic sport. Once you get out into the sport, you exert a lot more force. There's more mental stress because you're not. It is unfamiliar territory, especially if it's another planet. So your dog is going to go through more stress. Yourself is going to go through stress, and so all of this muscle memory has to come into play when you're going out on these missions. You have to be very ready. You have to be very trained, and everything has to come from muscle. So the same thing for these dogs. Luckily, we have dogs that can do that. You know, so I think that's the beauty. You know, if you're a dog lover like me, you know, you gotta enjoy the fact that we have space dogs out there. Space dogs, not just space chimps that we're shooting out into small space capsules and who knows if they're making it back, but space dogs who have their own suits, their own mission to save us. So really, they're like our personal, you know, our personal angels out there on the battlefield or in the portal field, if you will. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys. I thought that was really fascinating, and you know, I hope you enjoy it. So are you guys doing well? I hope you are. I hope you're taking care of your physical health, your spiritual health, your emotional health. Maybe getting a dog might help that, you know. I've enjoyed having my dogs, and they take care of me. I do my best to take care of them, and you know, we do what we can for each other. So yeah, it might be something to think about. There's always dogs readily available to be adopted. Take care of your family. Continue to follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. I put up a buy me a coffee link in the information bio of the episode. So if you don't want to or can't donate, you know, every month or whatever the case is, if you want to buy me a coffee, hey man, I'll take a cup of coffee. That would be great. Nothing like a cup of coffee to make you feel like the day's a good day. So I appreciate you guys listening. Feel free to check that out. Feel free to check out the old podcasts as well. Every time you guys listen, just, you know, it makes me feel good. Makes me feel good, and I'm glad to reach out to you guys. So I'm happy to bring another podcast to you, and I hope you guys are having a fantastic evening. Take care of yourselves, and as always, continue to question the universe around you. Locked On Universe out.